Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Surprise! It's bonus episode time! I figured in a week when we had a Monday holiday, we should celebrate. And to celebrate, I'm releasing the episode that I think most aligns with this week's main episode, The Doctor is In, Answering Questions. This, my friends, this is a replay from Music PD Week back in August, and you're going to love it. Virtual Rehearsal Methods with Mary Biddlecombe. Mary has been teaching a wide variety of ages and brings experience, necessity, and a really tech-savvy husband to the table here. Mary and I talk about what she had that was successful with her first graders all the way up through her seniors in high school. She also gives us some examples of how Tucker Biddlecombe used some of these same strategies with collegiate ensembles and community ensembles. This is just a little taste. I'm going to link in the episode notes another really good resource for virtual rehearsal methods. Mary, myself, Dr. Bowers, and Dr. Napolis did an entire preview on how to rehearse rounds. And then Dr. Troy Robertson is doing a ton of rehearsal techniques virtually because he's been working all summer with his community choir and has a lot to bring to the table. So I will link the direct YouTubes of those training videos, as well as Choramore, which has really been the coalition that brought all of us together this summer. Now back to Mary. Mary is a blast and such a huge contributor to our profession. You will hear how excited she gets in this episode and how little things that she just thinks is no big deal is such a genius idea. So get excited and know, virtual rehearsal can be really fun. It is exhausting and it is a little bit different. You just have to find your own personal persona and your own plan. And just keep trying. So here you go. Virtual Rehearsal Methods with Mary Biddlecombe. Today on the show, we are welcoming one of my friends, Mary Biddlecombe. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Emmy.
I'm so happy that we get to record this. We have had weekly coffee dates pretty much ever since quarantine started. And I think that might be one of my favorite things of quarantine.
I think I agree. It's nice to have something that happens every week.
Yes, yes. And we've talked about also, I mean, from walking to food to choir stuff. And for people who don't know Mary Biddlecombe, can you give us your elevator pitch? Who is Mary?
I live in Nashville with my husband, who teaches at Vanderbilt University. He's the director of choirs there. And I do the Blair Children's Chorus over here. And it's amazing. It's affiliated with Vanderbilt. Before that, I taught public school for 10 years and loved every second of that. And I love doing this. I love doing music. I love doing choirs. I can't imagine doing anything else with my life. And God forbid anybody ever tells me that I have to do something else, because I'll just have to go and work at some retail store and that'll be it.
My soul would turn black. I'll tell you, I think I was maybe 22. I think I was a baby and you were teaching high school in the Tallahassee area.
I think so.
Was scared to death of high schoolers and I was getting my master's and Dr. Bowers assigned me to your school and I had to come do practicum or something. I think it was with methods class and I had to come work with your students because I remember teaching them one of those sing the God of sing.
Oh, yeah.
But I literally would just cry in the car the whole way out to your school driving because I was so scared.
Because high school kids, they're terrifying.
They seemed so huge. I mean, I'm not scared of them now. You helped me.
But as a 22-year-old.
Oh my God, I was so scared of them. But you made it so fun. And Tucker was in classes with me all the time. So I think we've known each other for like 10 years now.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh, time flies.
It really does. So the Blair Children's Chorus, Blair being, what's that, like the name of the School of Music or something?
Yeah, so Blair is the name of the School of Music at Vanderbilt. So we have a really, really tiny music school. There's only about 200 majors at Vanderbilt. But the Blair Academy, which is what the Blair Children's Chorus is a part of, has about 800 students between lessons and orchestra programs and all that kind of stuff, and fiddling and folk instruments and all this kind of stuff. People take all sorts of things. We have a kinder music program all the way through to senior adults who learn about Orchestra 101. So it's really, really cool. It's a really unique program that we have here. And I just love that I'm a part of it. It's a real pleasure.
So your children's choir, is it legit children? What's your youngest? What's your oldest? What's the breakdown look like?
We have 7 choirs. So I have first graders through 12th graders. Okay. And we have a first through third training choir, which is just our young people who are learning how to sing together, learning how to make music together. They're so fun. We have a weekly game and we have a Superstar Super Singer Award every week. And it's fantastic. I love it so much. They're my joy. And then we also have our young singers of Blair, which is like the third through fifth grade girls kind of boys kind of things, when they're learning how to make a little more, a little difference kind of thing. And then I have my boy choir. I have a boy choir, which starts in third grade that goes until the changing voice. And then we have a changing and changed voice guys choir, the changing and changed voice choir that my husband directs. I also have a high school girls, which is 8th through 12th. Oh, and my middle school girls, which is 5th through 8th. And then we have an advanced chorale. So that those are students who have to be a part of another Blair Children's Chorus ensemble in order to be a part of this group. And it meets a second day a week. Mm. And we do SATB music, and it's only about 20 students. So we really get to delve into, you know, we do a lot of listening. We do a lot of analyzing. We do a lot of just really getting into music as well as singing.
Wow. I knew you had a lot of choirs, but man, that's awesome. You have a little bit of everything, this is why I'm so excited to unpack this today. So why I love our weekly conversations is because when we talk, we have our moments of, oh my gosh, this is awful, but then we figure out how to get through whatever that awful is. And you had such a productive rehearsal time in the spring, given the situation. And let's unpack some of those methods and things that you did. So first of all, can you tell us, when we went virtual in March-ish, what did you do with your 7 ensembles?
So Vanderbilt was one of the first that went virtual. And I was supposed to leave with my middle school students, my boy choir and my choristers, to go down to Southern Division ACDA and sing.
They were supposed to be in the choir I conducted. I missed them.
Right. And we found out the night before, an hour before our parent meeting, that we were not going to be going. Mm. So that happened, and that was it. Like, Vanderbilt was one of the first, and it was really pretty stressful. And they were like, you need to be ready to teach virtual next week, just like we all did. I mean, all of us just kind of said, well, okay, here we go. And it was terrifying. It was terrifying for every person who does what we do and loves what we do to be able to just say, well, we're just going to make this happen. And I'm so impressed with all the people in our field who just said, well, then that's what we're going to do, because that's what we do. That's just the way it works.
I think it was like 6:30 or 7 in the morning, one of those mornings of Southern and Mobile, Southern Region ACDA. I was meeting with Vic as programming chair, making ideas for the day. And you and Tucker were sitting beside us at breakfast. And all of a sudden we had this epiphany that people were, like you just said that in a couple sentences, like it was no big deal. But we were living on eggshells day to day on who's going to get to go back. When are we going to go back? What's going to happen? Oh, virtual learning. What's virtual learning? And Tucker said, well, I can do a lunch session on, you know, how to teach virtually if you want to. And it was so just, I can do that. It was so chill. And now I'm seeing how you two have both succeeded in some of those things. So once you were told you were going virtual, what did y'all do next?
It was necessity. What choice did we have? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden we said, well, there's this thing. Oh, it was kind of funny. Tucker said, because we'd had an ACDA Tennessee meeting the week before. And Tucker had people from all over the state in on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, this is this program where everybody can be in here, and, you know, we can pay for it for like a month. And then, you know, everybody will be in here on this meeting, and there'll be a pretty good no lag time. We'll give it a shot. And Tucker was like, well, let's see if Zoom will work, like to be able to get all of the students on there. Let's see if we can make this happen. And I was like, okay, let's see if we can do this. And so immediately Tucker was upstairs on his laptop. I was downstairs on my laptop. I'm playing on the piano or on our piano in the living room. Can you hear this? How does this sound? Maybe we need to set up a microphone. Do we need to move the We spent hours just playing with everything we could come up with to try to come up with some way to make a rehearsal happen with kids and to try to make it synchronous, which we have all found out.
You know.
So you have to find another way to do it. So we just kind of kept saying, well, we need to be able to see it. It has to be visual. We have to be able to find a way to make it so that we can see what the students are learning. So immediately we decided, I made it so that my first class that I saw were my high school girls. Because I was like, if anybody's going to be able to figure this out, it's going to be them. I don't want to start with my six-year-olds. Let's give them a fighting chance.
Hey, six-year-olds, let's try this. Oh, everybody's gone from the screen. Where did they go?
I lost. Exactly.
So okay.
I sent an email to my high school families, and I just said, okay, we're going to start with you, and we're going to give this a shot. I made folders of their music, even though they already had it, but just in case, I mean, if anybody left anything at school, they couldn't go back and get it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they'll leave their music at school so they can get it and bring it to rehearsal. So I put the stuff in folders online, even though I don't usually do things like that because what were we supposed to do?
Right.
So I put everything on there and I said, we're going to meet on a Zoom meeting. And so I met them in there and I just basically started running a rehearsal.
Like you would do if they were face-to-face.
If we were face-to-face. But I just told them, and I gave them an email first to begin with. And I said, look, these are the rules. One, you have to stay on camera. We have to be able to see you. And I know that everybody's going to be in a different space. Everybody's going to be in a different world. I want to see you all in your closets and on your beds and outside on your porch and sitting in your dad's office or going, you know, whatever you need to do. We know, and we all need to make an accepting space for however everybody needs to make this happen. Mm-hmm. I said, it doesn't matter what anybody's internet looks like. I don't care. You don't care. It's going to be just fine. If you miss some things, it's okay. It doesn't matter. If you fall out of this Zoom rehearsal because something weird happens, it's okay. I'll let you back in. I love you no matter what. And we just had these ground rules that we created. No one can come off of mute unless they're asked to. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to stay visible. I have to be able to see you so I know that I can see you understand. Mm-hmm. So we created this list of what we needed to accomplish. And my kids were just like, okay, we can do that. And so once we created that, we went in and I started with warm up like I would any time. I had everybody set down their device, whatever it happens to be. And I said, we start with a physical warm up at every rehearsal. So I want all of you to stand up and I don't care how many bellies we see. I don't care how many, it doesn't matter. We need to stretch. We need to move. I don't know how many hours you've been sitting in front of a computer, but this is what it is. We need to stretch. We need to move. I have a MIDI keyboard that's set up that was hooked up to my computer because Tucker and I did lots of trial and error before any of this happened. Mm-hmm. Had it hooked up and I started playing warm-ups. I said, you sing loud and proud in your space. Nobody's going to hear you other than the people that live in your home.
Right, because everyone's muted.
Because everybody's muted, always muted. Mm-hmm. And I would sing for them. I would demonstrate. I can see how they're placing their vowels. You'd be kind of surprised what you can see students mm-hmm. doing with their singing, you know, so I could say, you know, Frederica, you need to make sure that you bring your chin down when you're singing all up over the top, because otherwise you can't chase it with your chin. Make sure you're keeping, so you can see some of these things. Is it perfect? No, of course
it's
not.
But they're still seeing each other and making vocal sounds, even if you can't hear them.
Exactly. I created a bunch of logic files so that they could sing along with music that, thank God, they had already pretty much gotten under their belts because we had already had, you know, 2 months of rehearsal.
Same.
And we could, you know, make it better and do things with it and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is going to make the fall a little different.
The fall's going to be interesting, but before we go, so I think you've structured it kind of like a normal rehearsal. Things worked, things didn't work, and we can unpack that more in a second, but you did mention some things you had set up. So you had a computer that had your Zoom on it, and into your Zoom, you had an external mic.
Yep. I have a Yeti Pro. It's just mm-hmm. one of those. I got it off of Best Buy for $129, actually. Mm-hmm. recently. This is our second one. We've had the same Yeti Pro, just so you guys know this. We got a second mic, and this one was $129. We've had the other microphone since I was teaching high school in 2008 was when we bought our other one, which is still being used upstairs. Perfect. So these purchases that you make for this are not one-time gigs, and you can use them forever. So Right. Don't shy away from things. So then I also have a MIDI keyboard that's hooked up to my computer mm-hmm. that I can play. Mm-hmm. The only way that I can make it work is if I'm using Logic Pro. So I also have Logic Pro on my computer. I have some sort of piano thing selected in Logic Pro, and my students can hear that from my MIDI keyboard into my Yeti mic, and they can hear it with a pretty good no lag time if you have the original sound on. You always mm-hmm. have to.
Yeah, I have original sound, and you said something that really changed our rehearsals because we've done a couple tests since we've talked last, getting good microphones. So right now you can see that my microphone is set up to the infinity circle.
Yes.
Because we had rehearsal, we had a virtual beach party, and I was testing out a bunch of these things, and I have great speakers that I put right in front here. Right. So I could still talk to them and they could get the original sound. And they said it was completely different than when I was trying to play music through a program into Zoom. They said it sounded mm-hmm. so much clearer. So the things into your computer, a microphone of some sort, some type of MIDI keyboard so you can give them a pitch, because as we've all found out, sitting your computer on top of an acoustic piano is just not that good.
Right.
And then quality speakers.
Quality speakers. We recommend speakers that can be plugged in because mm-hmm. you don't want to have a lag trying to go to a Bluetooth mm-hmm. speaker, which then has a lag to Zoom, which then has a lag. Right. You want to create the least possible amount of lag that you can.
Right. Same as trying to plug into your internet connection instead of you, if you can plug into your internet connection, that's been a big game changer for us too.
Absolutely. The more things you can actually have plugged into something and not do, you know, we have created a world of ease by finding Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and, you know, all of these things that can be done virtually. But now the stuff is much better if it's plugged into something.
Right. And let's talk about external monitors, because that's been a big game changer for me. And I know you guys have multiple monitors, and you have, I got a stand after the last time I saw you guys talk and present. I got a stand. So I have a desk stand to hold my music, and I have a second monitor here. Monitors aren't that expensive.
No, they're not.
And you can get a cheap one.
Not expensive. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be very fancy.
No, you can have, and the thing, this is, again, I realize I'm going back to this again, but the monitor that I have in front of me right now is 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. It's great. We're never going to get rid of it. And why would I buy another one?
Right.
These purchases that you're making, I know computers, everybody, you know, they only last so long, mm-hmm. but these things that are with it last
a long time.
Basically. I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing to kill them. So they just last forever.
Right.
So we have the monitor, and something that I know a lot of people have been enjoying are monitors that can turn mm-hmm. so that they go from horizontal to vertical. Mm-hmm. So that way, if you're doing digital editing, so if you're doing, you know, audio editing and video editing, you can see more things mm-hmm. in a line. We don't have those yet, but I know
that I don't either, but I've seen them as well. So yeah. The first thing was you set up ground rules.
Yes.
You decided you're just going to go for it. You tested out a bunch of stuff. Practice makes perfect. Ground rules. Step two, trial and error, making sure you had the right setup. So it's trial and error, ground rules, all that jazz set up. You got all these things plugged in that you can. Now, can we talk a little bit more about some of the methods that you used for teaching? Because we did really similar. I had recordings of all of our music, the accompaniment tracks, and I mm-hmm. played a lot of accompaniment tracks, and we would sing along. And then if people got stuck, they would raise their hand and we'd pause everything. And I'd play on the piano that part. And my MIDI keyboard is all of like 2 octaves. So I don't have very much range, but that would help them. But you did something special with preparing them to do your virtual concert. Can you talk about what you did with that?
So is this the doing a little soul vision and stuff like that?
We'll get to that in a second. Okay. You had them turn in videos that you gave before you didn't just go straight to virtual concert.
Right.
It was like a step-by-step process. Okay. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. So after we've been kind of rehearsing together and doing, you know, what our rehearsal process and practicing with logic files and all that kind of stuff, just like Amy was just talking about, then I would have students just kind of record. The younger they are, the more I would just say, like, just press record on dad's phone, you know, and parents were usually around. I mean, the younger they are, the more parents are just kind of there. And I would usually just send an email and be like, just be around, you know, so they don't run away, you know. And so I would just say, just press record and you just sing. And then I would ask them to send it to me. I would have them send me just an audio file and they can send that over email. You can do that with no problem. So they would send me these audio files and I would put them in Logic. So basically they're listening to what we're all singing together in a rehearsal in headphones from one device. And then they're recording their voice on another device. So they're able to make that sound happen, but we're not hearing those accompaniments or anything like that. You just want to hear their beautiful voices. So they send it to me and I would just take all of those and I would put it into a Logic file. The next week, I would press play and let them hear what they sounded like when they were all in their rehearsals. It was not beautiful. And I would tell them, I was like, I didn't do anything to make this pretty. This is just you. I would make it so that the beginning lined up at the same time. That's it. No, like, amazing, like, you know, decrescendos here. We're together and auto-tune and all. No, this is just them singing in a rehearsal.
Because it wouldn't take you long to do that. Like, you just drag and drop and make sure it's lined up, maybe like 15 minutes max. Yes.
And you're done. So I would usually do that as soon as I got them all, or as many as I could. And a lot of times I would be like, you know, next time, if you send this to me, you'll hear you too. And they want to be a part of it. They do want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I just line it up and I play it for them. And I'm like, aren't you savvy? Look at you. You did a great job. Look at all that wonderfulness you guys did. Now, what are some things that we could do better? And that's deconstructing and taking things away and making sure that we are learning through this process. What can get better? What was good? And analyzing and trying to be better.
So you did that with your first graders all the way through your 12th graders?
Absolutely. Okay. Tucker did it with his symphony chorus people too.
Adults, yeah.
Like 80-year-olds too. We had to do like the full gamut.
You guys have talked to every possible age of singer. That's amazing. Yeah.
We have.
Okay, so if you were using that as kind of the structure, it was interesting to see when you talked about that and unpacked that, how that created a beautiful product for your virtual concert that you did.
Because it became more second nature to them. So when we did our virtual concert, they weren't shocked and shaken when I said, you know, this time, why don't you wear something that's not a t-shirt?
Pajamas.
Right? This time. And we had to learn how. So like when they send a video, we had to also do a trial run of how to upload that, because that becomes a whole other thing. You have to talk to your district, your program, whatever you need to use to make sure that you're following correct privacy regulations, that you're, because they can't be emailed. Mm-hmm. They videos cannot be emailed. They have to be uploaded somewhere. Ironically, you can iMessage them pretty easily. I don't know if anybody knows that, but iMessage works. So if you're comfortable having them iMessage that to you, you don't lose
the quality
of the whatever that word is that's not coming to me right now.
That
but
thing.
You don't lose that thing.
But look at that. You and I have done so much technology stuff and we don't know all the words or all the lingo or exactly how it works. And you know, you're talking Logic and I'm like, I use GarageBand because it's free.
There you go.
And a lot of little things.
I mean, the Logic and the Final Cut Pro thing is $200. And I mean, if you're trying to, they're combined. And unfortunately we got our Logic Pro and Final Cut when they were in on sale, and they're usually about $300 a piece. So if you're going to do it now.
Yep. When it's not so, like, when they're doing sales. So yeah, that's how you had successful rehearsals. Before we look into some of the other things not related to the actual rehearsals, and we talk about what you did for your warmups and activities, which are so cool, are you going to go that same direction in the fall? What are you thinking as you're looking at the methods and the sequence for the fall?
You know, there are some things that I really, really loved about what we were able to do. I know that the spring kind of turned into an emergency, you know, and I think that everybody did everything they could to be successful in the spring in a circumstance that nobody knew what to do. I mean, like, I get it. It was crazy. But, you know, I've spent my summer talking to so many people like Emmy, and like just these fabulous people who have such awesome ideas of things that will work with my kids and their kids and stuff like that. Some things that I'm looking forward to doing is I want to have a 10-minute video for each of my choirs. Some of them will be able to, you know, work for multiple choirs, which that's great. But some of them won't. Some of them will be very specific. I want to have little 10-minute videos about a topic that someone would like to send me. I don't care what it is. Make it a musical topic from someone. And the beautiful thing about all of us having to be on technology is it can be anyone.
Yes.
In the world. I have friends in Australia that I'm going to contact and be like, hey, can you send this to me? Can you make just a little tiny video? Nothing. And I will send one to anybody who wants one. I will find whatever topic you want for any level that you want it, and I will send it. I would love to be able to do these kinds of exchanges with people. Mm-hmm. And be able to have my students watch that with me. Mm-hmm. So like I will just press play and they will be able to watch this video with me and we can have a conversation. We can talk. I think so much of what our students are missing right now is the human contact, mm-hmm. the actual like conversations that they would usually have in our programs, because this is why kids sign up to be with us. They do it for the human contact, for the actual friendships that they make. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I know it's not 100% of it, but it's a good show. Mm-hmm.
And I know why I did choir.
Yeah. I mean, why did we all start in the begin with, you know? So, but this is a way for everybody to kind of have something to say, to have a little bit of feedback and to learn something in the process. That's one thing. Another thing that I want to start doing is with my older students, Emmy actually gave me this one, is to do these little 10-minute one-on-one sessions. Voice lesson thing with my older students. My younger ones, I'm not going to do that as much because I'm not sure that would do as much for them, but we're always trying to help them grow and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But like with my little ones, I'm not going to try and keep them on a Zoom for an hour.
I know my middle schoolers really loved being able to schedule their own one-on-one with me. And then they were responsible for bringing what they wanted to do to the table. They could, where they signed up, they could choose one of my suggested things: voice lesson, music history question and answer, music theory question and answer, life conversation, other. Those were the five things. And they would click which one it was. And then they were responsible for bringing to the meeting whatever they wanted to talk about, whether it was a question or a piece of music they wanted to work on. And it was so much fun to have that, see them rise to the occasion of identifying what they wanted to work on.
Right.
That was such a big leadership development. Some of these singers, I don't think I'd ever heard them string more than 4 or 5 words together to me directly.
Right.
Right. And they were in conversation that they've created.
Yeah.
That's been amazing. I'm glad you're doing it too.
Yeah. I'm totally
side thing.
Yeah. But I think that we need to have things that engage our students beyond just the rehearsal process, because I've kind of started adapting the fact that we need to be educating the whole musician. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that a lot of people get to see their kids every day. Oh my goodness, that's part of my teaching life that I miss very, very much. I miss the day-to-day interaction with my students. But, you know, even on these weekly things, I need to be thinking more about developing the whole musician during this time. Yes. And I think it will pay dividends later. I was speaking with one of my colleagues yesterday who works with our Suzuki program. And he said yesterday on a meeting, he said, you know, this is all terrible, but I will tell you that every one of my students ages 12 and up can tell me all of the key signatures. And I was like, you know, this is okay. It's okay to grow as a musician on top of being a singer and on top of being a choral musician. I think that There are good things. There really are.
There really are. And it's choosing to see those good things.
Exactly.
And like you said, listening to what other people are doing, trying what works, not being afraid to fail. That's okay. So you have to tell us, because this is really cool. So we have some things to think about here, but you did some really interesting transitions of using solfege and doing warm-ups and rehearsals that were super engaging that you can't do anywhere else but virtually. Like right. It only works virtually. So can you talk us through some of these little activities you created?
Sure. You know, again, a lot of these were just, you know, I think a lot of us come up with our best ideas on the spot. When you're just like, I have to make this work.
Right.
And all of a sudden I was like, holy cats, this'll work. And so we were doing solfege, you know, I was just like, all right. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do, di, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. And I always have we do movable dough, just backtrack. We do movable dough and I always use Kerwin. All of my students work with Kerwin hand signs. I also do raised and lowered. Do, di, re, mi, fa, si, sol, si, la, di, la, di, do. But I make those up, so don't.
But you can see all their hands moving.
But I can see their hands moving. This is where this becomes essential. You have to do things that kids can see and that you can see the kids understand. Mm. So I would start with them and I would have them sing along with me, you know, just sing along. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do, di, la, sol, fa, mi, re, do. Then I would sign something for them. We're keeping the same do. And they would be able to go up and down. So I would show them do, re, mi, fa. So sing that for me.
So
there you go. And you would be able to have that note be so. And if they're right, they would give me a thumbs up in their little reaction button. Some students don't have reaction buttons, so don't be guaranteed for that. Just be looking for thumbs up. If they didn't get it, there's a reaction button that is that's supposed to be clapping hands, but we called it shaky hand, meaning
like
that they
iffy. Didn't get it.
Shaky hand. But some students don't have that either. So you have to be looking to make sure that some students are showing that to you too. Well, depending on the level of the student, I would get more and more complicated. So I would say, you know, maybe these students would get a raised syllable. So I would show them, here's your do, you're singing it. So do, re, mi, fa, so, la, so, fa, fi. Can you sing fi? There you go. Right. So, and the idea is...
No pressure here.
The idea is that you would go all the way through and be able to and do it.
Right.
And the students would be able to show me mm-hmm. if they got it or not. You know, but you can also watch their faces, because if they're not getting it, they make the funniest faces. You just know. You know.
Yes.
Like, they're terrible about, like, the poker.
So... We played all these games. We had a virtual beach party and I said, girls, we are going to play all these things that I'm learning about from my friends. Are you ready? And we played all these games and they started using the reactions in other activities too. Like if I gave an instruction and they didn't get it, all of a sudden I'd see all these wobbly hands. I'm like, ooh, I need to give those instructions again. And then I'd see all the thumbs up. They started using the reactions all the time. And the other thing that I really liked that you did was the unmute thing. You did a couple unmute thing and a couple chat things. Where did those come from? What are those? Tell the listeners.
So sometimes I would have them give me a thumbs up, thumbs down. So this was at the beginning of when we were doing that. So we still got that dough. So usually I would have them thumbs up, thumbs down. But then after we had done this for a minute, you know, and always, this is not like a, this is not a 30 minute activity. This is just, you know, a little blip on the beginning of your rehearsal to engage the brain. That's what I like to call it. Now is the time when we engage the brain. So we were doing our do, and I would be like, do, re, mi, fa, so, la, so, fa, fi. And then you would unmute at all the same time. Ready? Unmute, 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 go. Fi. And they would all sing and we would hear this cacophonous sound. But sometimes it was all the same one and we would all be like, ah! And so you got to make sure that you like show them so much excitement when they do what you want them to do and they get it. And so them being able to all unmute and then they all talk for a second and then I just mute them all. And they just love that little bit of engagement, or they'll say something to each other like, oh my gosh, Sally, that was so great. You know, like, and then you just mute them all. and they go away. So, and then another thing that I would do, so I would say that we're in the key of D. I have no idea what key we're in. I do not have perfect pitch, but for our purposes right now, we're in the key of D. And I would say, I need for you to be able to tell me the note name of where we are. The note name, we're in the key of D. Everybody process what that means. And I give them a minute. Here we go. Do-re-mi. Note name, type it in the text. 1, 2, 3. And you inevitably get F.
F sharp.
So puppy, then we segue into the discussion about key signatures. Then we make it even more difficult. Here's your do, re, mi, fa, sol. What note name? A, that's your new do. Do. Note name, C sharp. This your new do.
Oh, and you move it all around. Cool.
Your keys all around and making it so that they can just plug it into, or I call on a kid. Unmute, tell us. Yeah. Or if you know you got it, unmute, say it out loud. 1, 2, 3. Use the chat. Everybody tell us at the same time. 1, 2, 3.
Yes. So they're engaged either through reactions or through chat or through being called on and unmuting or for everybody unmuting. I mean, right there, there's a 5-minute activity. Whoop, whoop.
Exactly. Exactly. And the kids love it. The little ones. So how do we engage our little babies? I like to be able to do songs.
Mm-hmm.
So here's your do. We're going to start on me. Me, re, do, re, me, me, me. Re, re, re. Me, so, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Me, re, do, re, me, 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 me. Re, re, me, re, do. And of course, you know it. We can engage the little people on that too. Now, of course, there's lots of background that happens before you can get there. You have to teach them to be able to get to that point in a rehearsal process. They can't just do it.
Right. Knowing those steps and sequences, and those steps and sequences are changing now that we're virtual.
Exactly.
But it's almost making us better teachers because you can physically not skip a step. Otherwise, they all go sideways in their Zoom camera and they have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. And you get a lot of shaky hand.
Lots of shaky hands.
And it they are judging, and not in a bad way. They are adjudicating. Let's do it that way. That sounds better. Mm-hmm. They're adjudicating our teaching.
Yes. And they know, like, good teaching is good teaching and it's easy to watch and it's a part of the fun that we have here. Well, I know that you and I are working on a project for Coramore with rounds and using rounds as songs, and there'll actually be a model teaching demo in the archives of Coramore. So hopefully that'll be done by the time this goes live, and I'll put the link to it in our episode notes. But just getting the ideas and seeing, and some of the things that we've talked about might not work for different locations, or you might actually get to be hybrid or whatever. But this is just one successful example of lots of trial and error that it's worked. That
worked for the spring. Now the fall might be totally different because, again, we're all starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
I don't either.
Another person trying to figure all this stuff out just like everybody else.
I'm kind of hoping we keep our weekly meetings so I can be like, this happened in rehearsal. What are you doing?
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Having people to talk to. Well, this has been really great. I really appreciate you sharing your experiences, and Tucker, you'll tell him thanks, even though he wasn't physically on the call. He was a big part of all the process.
He makes it a lot easier. I'm thankful.
Well, what is one thing? I always end with one thing that matters. So if the listener is just not getting anything else, what is the one thing you want them to walk away from this conversation with?
It's going to be okay. We're going to be fine. We're going to make music again, and it's going to be okay. This is music. It's different, but this is still music. These kids are still singing. They're still engaging. It's okay. And it's going to be okay. This is not the end of the world. Don't give up hope. If you need to call me, call me. I will answer my phone. Send me a Facebook message. Send me an email. I'm eminently Googleable. I am so happy to help in any way possible, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
It is. I'm so glad we're friends.
Right back at you, baby.
Thank you for being with us and letting me record our weekly conversation.
This is pretty much it.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly it. All right. I will see you next week.
Yay. Thanks, Dr. Birch.
Don't give up. There are so many possible things we can do. This really was a glimpse into the weekly coffee dates that Mary and I would have at 8 o'clock every week. And I hope that it's giving you some ideas, whether it's the quick little move the solfège around or how to get your students engaged in the rehearsals. You can do this. We can do this. Know that Mary said she is eminently Googleable, and you can reach out to her if you have questions. You also have me, anytime. Don't hesitate to contact me. You are the reason I exist. You are a huge part of my why, to spread joy and energy and excitement for teaching. So if you are not yet excited or you don't have ideas, I better be hearing from you, because what you're doing matters. And we all know that music matters. So I'll see you next time on the Music Matters podcast.